Rock Chapter 3, Verse 1. And Maximus Mike, the first prophet of Rock, sat upon the mountain, and the word came down unto him. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be sound, and there was sound. Let there be drums, and there were drums. Let there be guitar, there was guitar. And then he said, let there be rock. And Maximus heard the rock, and he knew that it was good.
Rock for Rookies, Tuesday nights at 8, only on Rusty Mike Radio.
Rusty Mike Radio and its affiliates take zero responsibility for anything stupid Maximum Mike might do or say during an episode of Rock for Rookies. Honestly, we don't recommend letting your children listen to the show. Heck, we don't recommend that you listen to the show. We certainly don't.
Try to
What's up, everybody? I am Maximum Mike, and welcome to another episode of Rock for Rookies. Today is Tuesday, August 16th, 2011, and do I have a hell of a show for you. And obviously, the biggest reason is that, well, let's talk about the song that we just heard. That was the song Your Mistakes by the band Late 8 off their brand new, soon-to-be-released debut album, These Fading Lines. And with me in the studio tonight are two of the members of Late 8, Oded and Uri. What's going on, guys?
All good.
All's good.
Everything's fine.
Oh, yeah, you guys sound so excited. I'm, like, pumped up, and you're like, oh, we're artists?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, like we're serious and, artists. We're creators. We can't actually be hyped up about our own music. That doesn't sound good.
Okay, you fair know? Enough. Yeah, so, what do you think of that song?
Oh, it kind of sucked, you know?
No, it doesn't really suck, but, you know, it doesn't really express the way we feel about our creation and our art. We're very serious about it, and usually
Uri,
when...
get your finger out of your nose.
I'm sorry.
Well, we're very serious about our art. That's what I'm saying, basically. Well, no. Basically, we're not serious at all.
No, so I'm very excited about this because, first of all, this isn't the first time that I've had Uri. I've had you in the studio in the past.
Yes, yeah,
with
fun.
Tal, the lead singer of Late 8. And today we're joined for the first time by Oded, who is the drummer.
Drum boy.
I've been told by other members of the band that sometimes, like, out of fun, you, like, bang the sticks on your head, which may have
which is a lie that was never proven or photographed. That's all I have to say about that.
As of yet.
No, because that's something I also want to talk about. We're going to be getting to it during the show today. You guys have a huge concert coming up on August 25th, and I want to know, and a lot of the people, I invited a whole bunch of people, and they're like, okay, so their music sounds okay, but what are their live shows like? Because there's some bands that have really sucky live shows. So we're going to talk about Late 8, how you guys perform. Right. I know that I'm going to get to stroke your beard.
Yes,
during
you
the
are.
Actual Late 8 had a competition that was going on, free tickets, VIPs, t-shirts, that whole thing building up to the new album release and the concert, and I actually won one of the prizes. They can't hear that, but this.
Really? So, you can't hear this? See, this is my beard stroking the mic. And the actual upper mic is going to stroke my beard, too.
Yeah, so I think I won, like, the least of all the impressed. Like, I can't take your beard home with me, whereas other people are going to be taking their prizes home with them,
I think. Surprise the dead with scissors.
If you
come with scissors, something else will be cutted.
Cutted?
Cutted.
Excellent. So
cutted. That was not a mistake.
Here's what we're going to be doing during the show tonight. Besides having lots of brand new music, we're also going to be listening to several tracks off the new Late 8 album.
Yes.
Just like the second single that you guys released, which was Your Mistakes. Tell me about Your Mistakes, the first song that we heard.
Go ahead.
Okay. That was actually one of the latest, I think, one of our newest songs.
Yes.
That we wrote. I don't exactly remember when we wrote it, but I remember the when we started actually writing the riffs, the whole song kind of came to be fairly easy. It wasn't a very, like, hard song to write, if you know what I mean. It wasn't much work on it. It was very fluent.
Is there a difference? Because your first four singles from your EP that you guys released almost a year ago, probably a bit more than a year ago.
Yeah.
A bit more.
Those are songs that get played constantly on Rock for Rookies. And what I want to know is, because I've only heard two songs off the new album, is there a first of all, are those four songs going to be on the new album?
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome sauce. But secondly, what I also want to know is whether or not, is there a difference? Like, because those songs were written a year ago, the songs that are on the new album, when were they written?
Some of them were written a year ago and didn't manage to get in the EP. And now a lot of the songs got transformed to a different kind of thing during the work of the new album.
So you had older songs that got changed, very much like your original demo from 2 years ago.
Yes.
Where it's almost unrecognizable.
What?
True.
What demo?
I don't have a demo.
We're going to get to that eventually. We're not going to listen to a whole song, but I want to play like 30 seconds of a soundbite off your original demo because it's important. What did Will Smith say? And I know it's not his line. You never know where you're going till you know where you've been.
That's right. Yeah. You're quoting Will Smith.
Oh my God. All right, let's get right into the music.
right now. For all of you listening in, here's what's going to happen today. We have my picks, which are obviously awesome, but we're also going to have our picks from Late 8. Hopefully bands that they're either into right now or bands that have heavily influenced the band as a whole, which I know is difficult because a band is made up of so many different, it's made up of different people and everyone with their own styles and tastes.
Definitely.
So we're going to see how that all comes together, but we're going to start off the show with one of the show favorites, which is Snot. And I know that Oded, you also share a love for this band.
I do.
It's very highbrow, artistic.
Actually, one of Snot's they're one of my favorite bands, and I actually teach one of their songs.
You're a drum teacher.
I'm a drum teacher, and I teach one of the songs.
You're not a
songs.
Math teacher, obviously. I teach one of their songs.
Yeah, no, I'm not a math teacher, no. But I'm not pretty bad at math.
So this is going to be the song that I've been pushing on Late 8 for a long time now, so that this should be the song that they should cover. So here we go. It's called The Box.
Yeah. the ground. Pick her up and kiss the asphalt now. Cease this amputation. Splinter their ring. Shit, I've had sex now.
We're back on rockforrookies.com. A lot of technical errors going on tonight. I'm going to blame Oded for that one.
Always blame the timer.
Everything's working fine until
I told you not to touch this button.
But it's a good button. It's a shiny button. Look at the button. Let me press the button. I want to press the button.
You press the button. All right.
So we just heard At the Drive-In. Here on Rockforrookies, you'll probably know them more as the Mars Volta. It's pretty much the same band. This is how they originally start off. Very punk style. Very postmodern punk style.
Post-punk revival.
They have poppy punk style songs. But you could tell already that they were getting too artsy-fartsy for the rest of the pop-punk bands out there.
Yep,
and then the Mars Volta came out of that. I don't know if they're still putting out new stuff as
they
At the
do,
Drive-In.
They do, and they're even more artsy-fartsy than the first album. The first
album
was awesome.
Are they artsy-fartsier than Mars Volta?
They're artsy-fartsier than themselves.
True.
I mean,
the first album, they actually had a producer that kind of bind them all together into semi-looking kind of like songs to put out an actual album. Their second and third was uncommunicative at all.
No.
Just a bunch of notes.
And when you guys make music, how's that different from... What's the process like? Because here's the first question that I have for you guys.
Okay.
If you had to describe Late Eight's music, its sound... to someone who'd never heard your music before they went to a show, before they heard a single. All right, let's say it goes like this. Some guy in, let's throw out a record label, Roadrunner Records, right? So some guy who works on the website, some guy on the website likes your stuff. And then you get sent up and you get an interview with the big guy who doesn't have time to listen to your music but decides to interview you, right? He says, tell me about your band. What's your sound? What do you sound like? Who do you sound like? Who else out there sounds like you? And that's such a mean question to ask of a band, and I know that it is.
Okay, what do you it's the common one.
If you answer, it's a mean question, because if you answer, we don't sound like anybody else, then you're stupid.
Right.
And
true.
But you
if
cannot
you sound really, like someone else, then you're like, then what do we need you
yeah,
for?
Yeah, we need you. You sound like Slipknot. Well, we got Slipknot.
Right.
We don't need you.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. Well,
sadly. But I always say it's kind of a mixture of Pantera and Tori Amos.
Weird.
Yeah. Because that's the way I like to look at it.
And that will make people listen to it for at least 30 seconds.
For at least that's sometimes it's all you need.
Yep.
Speaking of 30 seconds.
Oh, no.
If we...
Please
so
don't.
What we're going to do now is
please
listen
don't.
To 30 seconds off of the first demo that Late 8 released 2 years ago.
That is a lie. That has absolutely nothing to do with us.
Here's the point, guys, and here's the point. I think that as any person who has any interest at all in rock and roll, it's interesting to see progression. And it's dude, this doesn't sound anything like the way you guys sound nowadays.
No.
Yeah.
But and that's amazing to hear. I remember the first time that Uri gave me the CD, and he's like, listen to us. I'm like, okay, the only thing that's good about them is they can play instruments. I don't know. And I can't play instruments, so...
Harsh, dude.
The point is, and when it comes to me, though, when it comes to a lot of people, the most important thing is being able to sing along to a song. And
yeah,
you can,
I did that.
The
demo
is
that.
It's not that the song... It's like, if you put yourselves out there as super progressive, then maybe some of these... let's give a taste to Speechless. Let's make it sound really cool. Off their first EP release from 2009. Let's here we go.
Running out, so tired of this. I can't clean up this complicated stuff. This comic tragic farce. This little game of ours.
My God.
So Tal is actually writing in with the one word stop. Okay, guys. Now, what's interesting about that is it sounds like a garage band. Like, you purposely, like, stripped the sound.
Yes,
and
yeah.
It's all... And
yeah. That wasn't my purpose, by the way.
Some people like that. Okay? Now, we're going to look at... You say Pantera and Tori Amos. No one's going to deny that Pantera are awesome.
Yes,
some people are not into Tori Amos, though very few people will ever disagree that she has an amazing voice. And she has a style about her which is unique.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
So we're going to listen right now to one of the brand new tracks... Unheard of by anybody, right?
Yes. True.
So this is a Rock for Rookies exclusive, baby!
True.
Okay, that very rarely gets to happen. So that's exciting. It's exciting stuff right now. So off the brand new album, you want to give us a little rundown on Flush?
Well, Flush is one of the songs we kind of wrote it purposely to write a song like Flush.
It has a specific style, specific...
Exactly. It has a certain... to musicians out there, it's in 6/8. But the point of the fact is that we kind of wanted to write something entirely different than what we wrote up until that song.
So this would be like the standalone song. Because when I said, what track do you guys want to play, you both said together, Flush.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is this your favorite track on the album?
That's a very hard question.
What is? I want you guys to think about it while we're listening to this song. What's your favorite track on the new album right now by Late 8? And then, of course, you're going to be listening to a bunch of other awesome bands right here on Rock for Ease. This is the brand new exclusive.
Yay!
Exclusive. This is
exclusive.
Flush.
is the
of Dying right here on rockforrookies.com. That was The Whole World's Crazy right before that. Blacklight Burns and the song Animal off the album Cruel Melody. A fantastic album that I've been playing on the show for 3 years already. Oded, where have you been? It's Wes Borland.
Well, I don't
That's
don't
where
really
the palace
like.
Of Limp Bizkit is.
Yeah, I know. Have you heard anything other than their album with the chocolate? I forgot its name.
Yeah, the new one, Gold Cobra. It's freaking awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta go. I got
Dude,
something on the gas.
Allmusic.com, who are the most pretentious sacks of crap ever, said that Gold Cobra is the first good Limp Bizkit album since $3 Bill. Which says a lot, because that was the only album they ever had that had good reviews on Allmusic.com.
Hmm.
So, it's worth checking out, and there are a lot of ladies in the video. It's Limp Bizkit. You're not looking for, like you were talking about, you know, artistic depth. No, Limp Bizkit doesn't do artistic depth.
No.
They have a shotgun sound scratching where they make a beat using a shotgun in one of the songs.
They also have Fred Durst.
Yeah.
That so kind of awesome. Trumps everything.
He's so awesome.
Yeah, what? That's exactly what I meant.
He is one of the few, they shouldn't.
There's a bunch of bands where the singer can just ruin the band completely. That's one of them.
Saw a show of Limp Bizkit last year. Okay, Fred Durst was on the stage with, and he had like two karaoke screens with the lyrics of each song. So someone was there behind the scene moving the songs because he didn't remember the words for his own.
Come
band.
On, yeah, fine. He could do. He's 50.
No,
he's really
he
old.
Can't be 50, dude.
He's in his 40s. I can tell you that.
No, 50's not 40s. A and B. You want a good example of a rocking 40-year-old? That take Dave Grohl for a second.
He's already 40.
He has to be 40. He has to be at least 40.
Why? He could have been 20 in the 90s, and it's been
20 years.
Yeah.
So he's got to be 40, at least 40, and the guy's rocking his ass off.
Yeah, but he's a master. He's a master. We're not going to say
exactly
Fred Durst is a master, but I'm just... Really?
You know what? Take the master, Phil Anselmo. Dude, the guy's over 50.
Right. And?
He's over 50.
Really? He's over 50. He's got to be over 50.
You know who really needs to...
Think of Pantera came out in, what, 92?
All right.
I'm talking about, like, Vulgar came out in 94, I think?
92. Mm-hmm.
92? Vulgar.
I think so.
I think 94. We'll look it up later. And the guy came to Israel, like, what, 2 years ago, a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
Gave me the best show I've ever seen in my life. In my life. And you're talking about Fred Durst? Dude!
Come on, AC/DC? They're like 100.
Exactly. AC/DC are like 100.
Yeah, but they could just mess up the words. And they just have to go, rock and roll! And you're like, that is the lyric to this song.
But they're drunken Australians.
Okay, so so here was the question. The question was that we were looking at was, what's your favorite track on the new album coming up?
Hard One. Actually,
is that the name of a song?
No.
Hard One?
You wish, didn't you? No. Actually, one of my favorites is it's actually a mellow one on the new album, which you'll discover on the 25th when you come to see the show. Oh,
that's right. By the way, I'm not sure whether they're going to be doing it today or next week, but we're going to be giving away two tickets to the debut show.
Yes, right? We are.
And if you want to get a chance to win these tickets, and I haven't obviously even thought up a question to help win these tickets, but if you want to call and you have any questions for the band, 02-563-1492 to call in, or you can hit the live chat button on the Rusty Mike Radio homepage. Two ways to get in contact with me, Maximum Mike, and the boys from Late 8.
But
so, Uri.
Yeah.
Track.
I would say Another song that we're not going to play today, I think. Corner of the Evening Sky.
Corner of the Evening Sky. That doesn't sound pretentious at all.
Yeah. it's like a Pink Floyd's name.
Not a Pink Floyd song at all.
It's a kind of song that I really like because it has like a Pantera-ish kind of mood to it.
All right.
Solo inside with like rocking groove stuff.
So, I concur.
So that being the case, why did you guys decide to release Darker, the Darkest Part of the Night? What's the name of that? Darker Than My Night. Yes. Why did you guys decide to release that as your first single?
Well, we had a lot of debate between ourselves which songs to actually release. We asked around, and we asked our producers, we asked our tech guys, which are Kfir and Daniel, and... Kfir gave us an answer, and then Daniel gave us a whole other answer, and then we asked a bunch of other guys and family and friends, and everyone we played our songs to said something else and gave it a completely rational explanation to it. At the end of the day, we just kind of tossed in the three names that came up
the most,
and we said, okay, we'll just go with that because we just had absolutely no idea.
First of all, being that I haven't heard the rest of the album, it was a great way to start. It's an epic song, and most importantly, what was learned is that I remember the last time we were all in the studio together, and I played the song "The Perfect Bitch" by Bullets and Octane, and Uri and Tal were sitting there going, "See, all you have to do is repeat the same words over and over and over and over and over again, and that's how you get a hit song." But they were arguing about it fiercely, and I was like, "No, we shouldn't do that." And Tal was like, "Listen to this song," because they just say "You're a perfect bitch" just over and over again. If you remember the track, and a lot of the chorus is repeated in phrase, and it's very easy to sing along to. And it's awesome.
Right. And you can also sing it. You can also see it in Flush that we just heard. Flush also, I'll flush you down, I'll flush you down, and then I'll flush you down.
So you said that Flush, which was the track that we heard at the beginning of the block, was something that was trying to be different. What was the sound that you were trying to get there? Something ballady, something epic, something harder?
I don't think we knew where we wanted to go. More like we wanted to go somewhere like something else.
Well, that brings up the creative process of the band, because if all four of you stick your hands in the middle and do like a Power Rangers cry and be like, "Let's do something different," and then Ori pours milk on his face and you start drumming on a guitar, right?
Yeah.
If you want to do something different, you guys need to have a focus, right? Who said let's do something different? I'll lead. Who was the Green Ranger? The White Ranger.
Good question.
White Ranger.
I don't
These
remember.
These Faded Lines, it's a collaboration.
I don't remember.
Who runs the show?
No, I don't think we have...
Our process is... It varies. It really depends on the song. Sometimes, most of the songs begin with a guitar riff, continue with a drum beat, and go to the bass line, and then Tal comes in and does her thing, which I have no idea how she does.
So is Tal the primary writer of the music, of the lyrics?
No, actually Dave is. Dave,
I think they actually split it.
Who's Dave?
Early now. Dave, by the way, is the second
Tal's personality.
It's the Russian personality.
It's our guitar player, and he right now, if you see the whole songs that we have in the new album, so we have 9 new songs and 4 from the EP, which are remastered, by the way. You can see that the major lyrics are from Dave and Tal. It's kind of split for the whole 12 songs, but in this one, I think Dave is. Have more songs than Tal, but some of them were made together.
And do you guys ever come in and be like, "Oh, those are good lyrics, but that word sucks. You have to change that word."
Yeah,
you guys
all the time.
So nothing is actually set until Tal has a killer line.
Yes,
nothing is set until then. If we can't set the stage for Tal, we don't actually continue with anything.
So, and this is always brilliant, because as I try to do writing every once in a while, I try to write stories and whatnot. Every once in a while, I'll write a scene, and then I'll go back and read it and be like, "Oh, goddamn, I'm awesome." Do you guys have moments like that, where you're sitting there and you're like, "No, replace that with the word pork fat," and then you're like, "Oh, my God, I'm a genius." Does that happen in the studio, where you guys just blow your own minds?
All the time, dude.
Yeah,
all the time. We actually have a kick-ass mirror in the studio to look at ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Wait, are you serious? You have mirrors in the studio?
No, we don't have a studio.
So.
We don't have a studio, so no.
What about where you guys practice? When you were practicing for your live shows, you guys have a mirror in there?
No.
No. No.
Just looking at each other.
Most of the time, we're actually thinking about the crossovers, the actual lines, the technical part of the show. Once you get that part done and get that part over with, you can actually have fun on stage.
Right.
Which is the point of it all.
Uri, have you ever stood in front of a mirror at home holding your bass guitar going, I should put my left leg a bit farther out, now I'm sexy?
Yes.
Dude, I don't even have a bass guitar and I do that.
Of course I did, man. I may be a bass player, but I am some kind of guitar player. So every guitar player does that.
All right. So
you should ask Dave.
We're going to go right back into the music right now. It's time for the cover of the week, and this is a brand new CD that was just released like 3 days ago by a band called, I can't even pronounce it, Reinseed?
Reinseed.
R-E-I-N-X-E-E-D. Reinseed. I don't know what it is. I know that they're Swedish, and they just released an album that is all covers, and it's like called like Swedish Classics Go Metal. Something like that. So you guys are going to love this one right here on Rock for Rookies. This is Reinseed with, you ready for this? Mamma Mia. the song If You Could See Me Now right here on rockrookies.com. We are with Late 8 in the studio talking about the new album. Talking about, okay, so what we had right there was a three shot. Two of the songs belong to you guys. And oddly enough, the POD was not mine, guys. So for all of you, oh, he likes new metal. POD was not mine. It belonged to Dave.
True.
The guitarist, right? Yeah. Who I remember last time also chose some pretty whacked out, artsy fartsy kind of music. And POD, that's not a POD song. That didn't sound like POD. It didn't have rap lyrics in it. It didn't have any mentions of Zion or Babylon.
or Christ or whatever.
Or Messiah. And Mati Siao wasn't singing with him. have you heard that track?
See, what?
Mati Siao.
Oh, you were kidding?
Two tracks off the album, Testify.
Seriously?
Mati Siao sings with POD. It's a really cool track.
I don't really follow POD, so I don't know.
So that was a very un-POD song, so I would love to know why Dave chose it, because it's very unlike them to begin with.
We should ask Dave and start thinking Russian. So, think winter. That's the best I got for you.
Okay, wow.
That's all I got.
So is Dave the guy who gets shouted down a lot in the things? And in your, he's like, I have an idea, shut up, go back to Siberia. Is that like, is that the common term?
No, not really. We don't shout out things. We kind of simmer and then lash out.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
This would be a good time to mention that you guys do have a YouTube channel. What's the name of the channel, Uri? Do you remember?
Late 8 HQ.
Late 8 HQ. There are a lot of really cool videos of the recording
like
of the album.
It's like Metallica HQ. That's awesome. Because we're like them.
There are a lot of cool
you
videos.
You have to think big.
There are a lot of videos of you guys recording the album that were edited together very well.
Yeah, this one, this album, and also the EP.
Mm-hmm. Also the EP. I don't remember. There's a great thing with you, like telling Dave to shut up or Dave to do it again. Do it again, Dave. Do it again, like just over and over and over. It was edited really well. Okay, so
by Uri, by the way.
Yeah, I did.
The whole editing part was done by Uri.
Awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce.
It's the word
by
of the month.
Is that Tabasco? Are we referring to something?
Awesome sauce. If you look it up in what's it called? What's the name of that website? UrbanDictionary.com.
Okay.
It has a very long list of what awesome sauces could be. Awesome sauce, first of all, could be anything that's awesome, right?
Obviously, how could I?
And
how
liquid.
Did I think of that?
It's
awesome,
actually also anything liquid that's like super spicy or
it
hot.
It has to
or
be
something.
Liquid. I mean,
not usually.
Does mayo consider a sauce? Because if you like take ketchup and mayo together, it's kind of like a sauce.
You mean Thousand Islands?
No.
That's what mayo and ketchup is.
Yeah, it's not really. Because if you take mayo and ketchup, it's mayo and ketchup.
Okay.
If you put in the mustard, then maybe you get some. Never mind. My point
I knew that if I was quiet, he would just run himself into the ground with that one.
I'm asking about the density of the sauce.
No, I don't believe. I don't believe there is an actual measurement or grammage. But
the Greenwich of the sauce.
So yeah, so that's there's also awful sauce.
Awful sauce.
That's
okay.
Nice.
That was just awful sauce.
So
right?
Sauces.
Like the Rain Zed cover of Mamma Mia, mm-hmm. right? The cover of Mamma Mia would have been called
Sausage Fest.
Awful sauce. No, this what's going on
awful
in the studio
sausage.
Right now is a bit of a sausage fest.
It's true. It's true.
I was like, Tal's not going to be here? Oh, no. Okay, so Faith No More, we spoke about that. Both of you guys are
huge fans
of Faith No More.
Actually, all of us.
But actually, the funny part is that actually Tal was the one who chose that particular song.
You would have chosen something else?
Yeah, probably. I'd probably pick Dig in the Grave.
It's interesting, though, that Faith No More are the... When people look back and say, where did nu metal start? Everyone, like, you can trace the lineage back to Faith No More. Like, they seem to
that.
Be...
But
they seem to
like,
be the
like
flag.
Ancestors.
I wouldn't say that Faith No More began nu metal.
I'm not saying that they started rap rock or rap metal, but... Korn seem to be the grandfathers of nu metal,
and Korn
say that their biggest influence was Faith No More.
Maybe, but I think Fear Factory actually began the whole thing prior
really?
To Korn.
Fear Factory?
If you think about it, when was their... I can't remember the name of anything. They had a really huge album.
Demon Effector?
Thank you. When did that came out? Like 90-something?
Maybe 90s.
Early
90s.
If it was 99, then Faith No More definitely have one up on them.
Yep.
Let's Vicky it.
Well, I do know for a fact that Fear Factory are on the Limp Bizkit album, $3 Bill. They play with Limp Bizkit.
Really?
Fear Factory, American industrial band, formed in 89.
See,
okay.
They formed in 89. So far, I'm good. I'm right.
Okay.
Soul of a New Machine was 92, and Demon Factor was 95.
Really?
That's what I have to say about that.
So what? King Faraday came in 95 too.
So yeah, but the manufacturer has a lot of new metal motives in it.
But they're also known. They also have thrash metal, death metal, and industrial metal. The question is, who was the first person to really start that rap lyric? Obviously, everything can be traced back to Aerosmith with Run DMC.
Rage Against the Machine.
Rage Against the Machine.
Earlier.
Rage Against the Machine came out in 91, 92.
Yeah, but Run DMC was even earlier.
Oh, but Run DMC are not rock.
You know,
Well, are we talking about Aerosmith? Are we saying Aerosmith is rock now?
Really? They were formed in 91. 91 was Rage Against the Machine. Their first album came out in 92. Have you ever heard of the Urban Dance Squad?
No.
Dance Squad, I have a song called Good Grief. Great rap rock. Also, it came out on the Hackers soundtrack with Angelina Jolie when she was like a teenager.
Oh, I remember that song. I remember that movie.
Do you remember that movie? There's one rock song in the entire movie. It's when they go to the club because they're looking for those crazy hackers to help them out, the ones who are famous and have their own TV show. And they go into a club.
The two Chinese guys.
Right. And so in the club that they're in, Urban Dance Squad is performing on stage with a rap metal song called Good Grief. Excellent track.
Geeks.
True. I can't be a geek.
Hackers is an excellent track. It's an excellent movie. I'm sticking to that one.
I mean, you got to give it that.
Yeah. All right, so here's a bit of a question that I'm shooting out towards late eight, so you guys are going to have to be speaking. And this is a lead-on question. It's going to be our segue into another topic. The metal scene in Israel. What do you think of the metal scene in Israel?
I love it. I think it's popping and rocking, and there's a bunch of really good bands out there. Not, I'm not talking about just the heavy stuff, like the really heavy stuff, like, because there's a lot of extreme metal in Israel, and I'm talking a lot of extreme metal. I don't even know half of the new upcoming bands. I'm talking about Pray for Nothing, which are, you know, kind of the grandfather of all metal, and I'm not talking about even Salem, which is really, really old. But I really like there's a new buzz to the scene. Coming up, there's a lot of nice bands coming up.
Do you think that, and I know this is a problem here, it's like you do a show, how many shows can you do touring in Israel before everybody's seen you?
About four.
Yeah, that's exactly the number I had in mind.
You do Be'er Sheva, two in Tel Aviv, and one in Haifa, and you're done.
You can do one in Tel Aviv, then one in Jerusalem, one in Haifa, and one in Be'er Sheva, and that's it. You don't need anything else.
One more place. It's really, really up north. It's called the Mushroom or Pitria in Kibbutz Dan. And I heard it's big. I haven't actually been there because it's.
Do you think that's problematic?
Nowhere?
Because here's the question. So the metal scene at this point, we're not huge. We don't have an army as of yet.
No.
As much as we should.
Dream Theater brought, what, 12, 13,000 people?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not exactly pop. So, yeah, on one hand, there's not a lot of metalheads out there.
Do you think that the metalheads in this country have the drive to come out and see the shows? Because. How many people can you fit in the Sublime where your show's going to be next week? How many people can you fit in there?
About 500.
Yeah.
500 people. You think there are 500 metalheads in the entire Merkaz?
Oh, I think there's,
of course.
I think there's more. There's
so
a lot
what
more than
is
500.
It, do you the think that it's is, the fact that your word's not out yet or just that there's a lack of support amongst the people here in Israel for the metal? Because a lot of people are like, yeah, I like metal. There's a show, and if we don't go support it, then nothing might happen.
Listen, once you go blaming the audience, you're in a bad place to start with. If you don't get the crowds to come to see you, they probably don't like you enough. They're probably not into you enough to actually get out of their asses and get out from home and come see your show.
What about the idea of just saying, oh, here's another band, let's go check them out and see if we should support them or see if there's... A lot of people just don't go to shows that they haven't heard of at all, even though, like, new band, come out, check us out. What about the failure of that huge... There was that supposed to be that big metal festival that was canceled a few months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, a few
what
months
happened
ago?
With that?
No,
that Why was that canceled?
Anthem was, like, years ago.
I'm not talking
years
about ago. Anthem. I'm talking about the Eilat something.
Oh, the Red Rock.
Red Rock.
What happened with that?
I actually don't know. I think we were supposed to play on that one.
Yeah, but it got canceled, I think, because of the same thing. Like, people, although it was supposed to be in August, I think, or the start of August or July, and lots of people were, on vacation, And then the problem with you can't say that it's the problem of the crowd. It's the problem of Israelis altogether. It's not in the metal scene. It's in every music scene in Israel.
True.
People are not really they are really passive. You listen to a band on their MySpace or Facebook or whatever, and then maybe you go see them live. And there are a few people that can that in Israel have the I don't know, have the guts to go see a band that they don't know, and a few people that have, let's say, the money or the time to go see the same band over and over again.
Right.
By the way, I don't have a problem with people coming to shows only after they heard the music.
Yeah, that's fine.
Obviously, you need to come to if you want to listen to a brand new band that doesn't even have anything recorded yet. All right, go see the show.
I also just think it's a bad idea to try and get metalheads to go down to a lot because too much exposure to sun for metal guys. I mean,
yeah, we tend to be really white.
Yeah, you know? So that's not always a very good idea. Now, this brings us to the idea: can an Israeli metal band make it in Israel? Can they make
in
it
Israel? Like, make it how? Make it support themselves?
No. Well, let's look at. I'm not talking about touring. I'm talking about living here and doing everything here.
And what? Just music?
I'm going to throw out a band because they were in the studio recently and I know some of the stories. Beit Sefer.
Mm-hmm.
They live here.
True.
Right.
They live here. They spend most of their time here. They got famous while here.
No, I mean, they got famous. What I know of the story, from what I remember talking to Behrman, their drummer, is that they actually got discovered while recording in Poland/Belgium. I don't remember. And that's how they got into Roadrunner. Germany. They weren't here. They were recording there.
So and it's just a matter of you just need to be somewhere to be noticed.
Obviously, look at Orphanland. When they got signed by Century Media, then they got really big here. But they had to be really big there to be really big here. Do you get my drift?
I do.
So you can't really tour. You can tour Israel until your guts bleed out. But it's still a...
So getting signed... No, first of all, metal country. Bands don't get signed to labels here in this country.
Not really.
Well, there are a few bands that get signed, but...
It doesn't do anything for them outside of the country.
No.
No.
Interesting. Okay. Not really. Which brings us to our next point, and that is Late 8 is bailing a sinking ship, aren't you?
Yes.
That's the best way...
That's where...
Late 8 is, as a whole, including groupies... Are all moving to London, I understand, in the near future.
Yes.
Hope to God.
Yes.
Very near future. Do you have anything promising in London, or are you just throwing caution to the wind and hoping?
First of all, just going abroad to be somewhere where there's a big music scene, that's not throwing caution to the wind. That's going to somewhere where there is a chance.
Right.
Because here, it's really, the chance is really, really, really small. And you can expand it a bit by going there. You can go there, you can go to Germany or whatever. So we thought about London, just, I don't know, because we like it.
Yes.
and
we speak English.
And because last year or 2 years ago, we had like a campaign with Factor Music, which are very, very big A&R kind of a promotion company and has a lot of metal bands in them. They got like Sonata Arctica, Invader, and everything.
Right.
And they do lots of shows. Have they invited you?
Like, are they aware that you're coming?
Are you aware? There's a few connections that we're not able to.
No details yet.
That's my real question.
Are you guys just like, we're gonna go there and just go to some bars and try and get some gigs and then we're like, because it's kind of like starting from the beginning unless you have some connections.
But that's actually it's not a contrast that actually to go and do all the bad dives.
You have to start somewhere, right?
But yeah, obviously I'm not ashamed of playing like small places.
No, my question is because starting from scratch, You're not going to London starting from scratch if you have some guys who know of you already. That's not starting from scratch.
There are some labels who are aware of us, and we're already are in contact with some labels and managements.
Which is a good time to point out that Late Eight's Sign Me To page on RoadRunnerRecords.com is the all-time top 10 on their all-time most
online charts.
Loved, liked bands voted for.
In the alternative chart.
Yeah. In the alternative metal chart.
True. Yeah.
All right. True. So that's a calling card right there.
That is. And it's very, very flattering. And we got a lot of our contacts was actually from that site. That's a lot of where our international exposure is coming from. So we're not exactly coming like with a blank page. We are coming with something, but still, it's a lot. We're not going like when you said before throwing caution in the wind. It kind of reminded me of a lot of conversation I'm making throughout these days because of our transfer to London. It says, so you're just trying out your luck. No, it's not luck. You got to work at it. It's a lot of work in a band. So you got to work. You got to push it harder and harder and harder. And once you do, once you know how to do it, it's not throwing caution at the wind. It's just follow your plan. If you got a plan, then you're doing it.
So here's my question. And then we have to get right back into the music, and this is important. Once you, let's say you make it. Are you going to stay there?
Or once let's you say.
I'm going to be born to make it. I'm going to be real. Let's say you guys make it.
All right.
Okay. You going to be coming back here?
What do you mean, to live?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe yes, maybe not. I mean,
who knows, dude?
You have the love of your audience here, man.
It's a problem. You say you got let's say you got I get really big in the UK and then Europe and then everywhere. Do I want to go back to Israel to live here and then, you know, every once in a while go out to tour or something? Well, I think like most of the musicians, yeah, you want to stay somewhere where there is, you know, your home is there and your family is there. But I don't know. Maybe I'll take everyone with me.
Maybe
I'll have enough money to do that.
I'm looking forward to the day where it'll be like, and this Late 8 album was recorded in the castle where, you know, you get some carpets together. Chateau de Blabla.
We're talking about Offrandan. Offrandan, they do that thing exactly. They live here. And every, like, 2 weeks, they go out for another 2 weeks somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really good. I don't know if that's what we'll do in a...
Let's look into the future question.
If you look into the future and we get really big, it really doesn't matter where we live.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
When we get really big.
When?
We're
going to do shows in Israel. Of course we're going to do shows in Israel. This is our home.
Awesome.
You know,
this
is home.
That's what Rock for Rookies wanted
and
to
we won't go, and people won't have to pay like 400 shekels.
No, we're not going to do that.
Oh. Like and of course, you'll still be coming here, you know.
Obviously, no, dude. We're bringing you with us.
Oh, yeah.
Rock for Rookies doesn't know, but
we all know L, and we know that's not going to.
We know the wife.
All right, we are going right into a band that I've been trying to play a lot more of on the show because they're freaking silly, and they are a pop punk band. But I feel like in this specific song, because I gave you guys the choice of which song to listen to, either Pool Party or I Fell Asleep on My Arm. Now, Pool Party is classic Aquabats. It's just like silly, and they're talking about how awesome their pool party is going to be. That's it. That's what they're singing about. Here, they're talking about how difficult it is when your arm falls asleep. It's not just a catchy song title. That's in depth. Pins and needles in the arm.
Exactly what I meant.
So I feel like they were trying to prove here that nu metal is really easy to do. So, that's the genre of the song. Okay. Check it out. This is I Fell Asleep on My Arm.
I put my head down on my desk to help me get through this mess. I fell asleep and before I was done, I woke up in shock, my whole arm was numb. Woke up in shock, my whole arm was numb. I woke up in shock, my whole arm was numb. I woke up in shock, I fell asleep on my arm!
sitting here, a little bit pissed. Step to the bar, but I can't leave. I can't turn the door knob, my arms are asleep. I can't turn the door knob, my arms are asleep. Who's gonna care if my books are so embarrassed? What am I got to be? I can't bear it. What am I got to be? I can't bear it. I'm gonna sleep on my arm!
I think all this jumping around has really helped the circulation come back into my arm. Man, cool. All right, guys. Want to go jogging?
Sure. Where do you want to go?
Nothing to see. I'm a world.
In the song Question, a 1960s-70s English rock band formed up. They do progressive-y rock.
stuffy.
That's what they do. So
that's good to know.
Yeah, no, they were big. I like to do that every now and then, especially when you're like, oh, this has been a much harder show than what, you know. That's where Late 8 has taken us, at least so far. So
that's what you said last
throw,
show.
To throw a wrench into the works by playing the Moody Blues.
Like a monkey wrench?
We're not playing Foo Fighters right now.
Fine.
But be that's that what way. We'll do. So, what did you guys think of the little bit you heard of the Aquabats?
Funny.
I love the name of the songs. No, seriously. The Aquabats.
I feel like that's everyone needs their little trick, their little thing, and just playing what they say they're going to play throws people off very quickly. Right after that, we heard Beit Sefer and their song Right About off the New Hate EP that they put out.
New Hate. Okay.
That was the name, I'm pretty sure, of the EP.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. I mean, even that's usually, there's something about Beit Sefer that they're a very hard band, but I love them. I do. They're really easy to listen to, though, with them. A lot of bands who are classified under their same, not always easy to listen to, Beit Sefer do a good job. That was,
Beit Sefer do a great job.
I heard, the first time I heard any of their music actually was during Ozfest. They opened up on the main stage. They were the first band on the main stage. Right. And I didn't make it in time to hear them because I didn't know how long it was going to take to walk from Ramadgan before the bus let me off. And I was just like, wow, it's like I'm still walking. It's 35 minutes. I still haven't gotten to the venue in this enormous park. But I heard them from outside, and I was super depressed because they sounded awesome. But,
well, I heard the whole Ozfest from the outside. I just stayed outside with a friend and listened to the whole show.
I was at the show with
because
Tal.
I spent
almost the entire show with Tal, the lead singer of Late 8, and she was. We had a great time.
Yeah, I kind of regret that I didn't get in.
We were all just sitting there. Most of the people in the audience were just sitting there, like, not breathing, just like, Ozzy, please don't die. Please don't die. Please don't die. So people dislike Israel enough as it is, and if Ozzy were to drop dead in our country, like, that's it. We'd be done. But hey, we're Late 8. Oh, you guys sound great. Where are you from? Israel.
You killed Ozzy, man.
I think that would kill, like, all American support to Israel. The fact that Ozzy died right here.
Well, he's
what, but
it really doesn't matter anymore.
But if we would have killed Ozzy, that means something can kill him.
True.
Conventional, you know, Ozzy cannot be killed by conventional weapons. All right, so here's the next question. There in the first four songs that you guys released, the Late 8 EP that you released last year, was there a common theme to those four tracks, Living Flame, Point of No Return, Answers? Was there a theme that was going on there that differs?
I don't think that we had a theme on the EP, because some of the songs that we did now, they're old songs. Maybe they got changed during the time, but when we recorded the EP, we only had the resources to record four songs, so we chose those. Now we got the resources to do everything. Well,
not everything.
Not everything, but most of the things that we wanted.
Yeah.
So we created the whole new album.
So these Faded Lines, the name of the album, is that, why did you guys choose that for the album?
Well, two things. One, it's a line from one of our songs. It's called Ode to You. And
my favorite song, by the way.
Yeah. And so there's a line saying, world, keep forgetting what got left behind. All these faded lines. It's not related to The Faded Line, a song by Lamb of God, for everyone who's watching or listening. I mean, it's not related to that. Although, we kind of like them. So, and the other thing is that I think this line represents, I mean, these faded lines, it represents some of the things that we speak of. It's like,
what are the faded lines? What lines are we talking about?
It's relationships and issues that we went through during the last years, and we're leaving them behind. We recorded it, we talked about it, we got it out to the open, and now we're moving on. So these are the faded lines. These are the stuff that we went through, and now it's over. Now
right,
we can continue.
Right, because like when I hear the line, it's like usually when you hear the word line and it's attached to rock and roll, it's usually like this line in the sand. Big Lebowski, these lines you will not cross, if you remember that line. It's at some point where you draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to take a stand here. That's when I hear these faded lines. It usually talks about taking a stand or not knowing where. You ever say, like, I'm not going to, like, this is the point where I'm going to get to. I'm never going to cross this line and do something. But when the line gets faded, you don't know where you're going anymore.
No, it's not in that. It's not in that perspective at all. I think
it is now.
Well, it can be.
Don't shout at me.
This is art.
We're artsy fartsy people right now. I'm a creator. I'm not just a drummer. Anyway, I think a lot of our songs are talking about what we're leaving behind, as not like as just us as a people and as a world. A lot of our lyrics talk about like heritage and continuance, and even the name of the song of the band Late Eight represents infinity.
So right. I know. I won.
Yeah, that's right. So if you think about it, a lot of the stuff that we do is talking about what we're leaving behind.
What we're leaving behind. Yeah. One of the reasons that I asked this is because we're about to play some Disturbed.
True.
And the line, the specific song that you chose to play is
10,000 Fists.
And 10,000 Fists is talking about what? It's about standing together and making a line in the sand, and everyone's taking a stand.
True.
That's why I thought of that connection.
Actually, I wanted that particular song just because of everything that's going on in the country right now. I love listening to that song right now. Just seeing everything, everybody is in this uprising, seeing everybody on the street all the time. It just makes me happy, you know? It just really makes me happy to know that the Israeli people is not taking everything on its back. They do know how to fight back. They do know how to actually stand their ground when they need to. See actually 10,000 fists in the air and even more. And we're talking about like 200,000 fists in the air. Think about it. We're a country of 7 million and there are 200,000 people on the street.
So Late Eight is saluting Israel. Yes, this is Disturbed with 10,000 fists. disposable teams. Marilyn Manson is not played enough here on Rock for Rookies. And that man, listen, he may not be relevant anymore. I mean, his last album, Eat Me, Drink Me, it sucked.
It did.
I expected that line to go a different way.
It was awful. It was like, he's just like, I don't have energy anymore, so I'm just going to make like an ethereal kind of like gothy. It was just like sounds, like chiming, and he didn't rock. It wasn't rocking.
No,
it was not rocking at all, which was a huge disappointment because the Golden Age of Grotesque, the album right before that, you could tell that Marilyn Manson was sitting around going, hey, new metal, I missed that train a bit. And Alright, so he missed the train on that one, and he made up with Golden Age of Grotesque, and everybody was just like, yeah, you missed, like, this was 4 years ago already. But it was still a fun album if you like that style of music. Before that, we heard Warrant, and we have to give a shout-out to singer Janie Lane, the singer of Warrant, ex-singer of Warrant, actually. He died dead in his hotel room.
Late singer.
No, he was a previous singer of the band, like the original big one, apparently, I guess. Because Warrant just put out an album, Rockaholic. They put out, like, this, what we just heard. My bad. I probably should have played some older stuff. but that was off of their brand new album that just came out, like, a few months ago.
There's a lot of, like, dinosaurs coming out again.
Saints of Los Angeles by Motley Crue was a great album. It came out last year.
I'm not a big glam fan at all, to say the least. But I actually saw Whitesnake live when they came to Israel. And that's a fun show to see. You know, when you see glam, it's a fun show.
Were you? I mean, I would go see Whitesnake just to hear Here I Go Again on my own. I mean, just to hear that song.
Obviously, that was the
There encore. Are artists. There are artists, and I'm sure everyone has that list of artists. Who are like, okay, this is not my favorite band in the world, but I have a checklist, and I want to see these guys before it's too late to see them all, you know?
Hmm.
Number one on my list is AC/DC.
Me too. But
those guys are
too late.
They're not retired?
Yeah.
No, they're not.
AC/DC just finished their, not just like last year, did their last tour.
No. He specifically said, Brian Johnson said, this is not our last album, but it's definitely the last time that we're going to go around the world twice without stopping.
Oh.
Like, they went from Australia, went all the way around back to Australia, and then just did it again. Mm-hmm. So he's like, he basically said this tour was one of the best tours we've ever done. But I'm old, and I cannot do this anymore. He said, we're not done touring. We're not done doing shows. He also has a thing now where AC/DC refuses to do a show that's less than, like, 80,000 people.
What?
The Arab Emirates offered to bring them in and to pay them what they make. But the biggest show that the Arab Emirates ever managed to pull off was 25,000 people.
Hmm.
And AC/DC, Brian Johnson was just like, I can't get myself energized enough for such a small crowd.
Oh,
that's a shame. I think I'm here.
On the other hand, Oded, it's the most politically safe thing to say.
True.
Probably.
True.
Okay, so I don't know what their deal is.
Don't mess with the oil people.
Yes.
So that was their thing. So that was his excuse. But
That's a good one.
All right.
That's a good one.
We have, like, no time left on the show. We only have about 4 minutes, so I want to start finishing by saying thank you very much for coming on there. Having you guys in the studio is awesome.
I had a great time.
Playing playing late on the show is always awesome, and it always gets fantastic comments, reviews. So excellent. Being able to have an excuse to play 5 late 8 songs in a row is amazing. Now, this is the important time to say that, guys, August 25th at the Sublime Club.
Club opens at 9. Be there early.
You guys have an opening band? I didn't ask you about that.
We do. We have an opening band called Slide Out. It's a bunch of our students, actually, me and Dave. Dave's our guitar player, is also a guitar teacher. And a bunch of our students are actually warming us up, which is a great opportunity for them to actually see what a proper stage looks like. And they're good. They're actually good.
No
they're
pressure. Cute. No pressure for them, all. Though. I feel like there's like, oh, yeah, guys, so I've only been teaching you for 4 years and you screw up.
No, we're already laughing at them also, so it really doesn't matter anyway.
So the Sublime Club, August 25th. You can buy tickets at the door, but you can also pre-order tickets beforehand.
Exactly. You can actually go through either me or Dave. Depends on where you are in the country. If you're in the South, go to Dave. All of the information is on our Facebook. And you can actually buy it online through the Sublime website. And you can buy tickets at the door if you want.
Will we be hearing the Pantera cover? Or do you guys have some new covers?
I don't think we want to reveal what's going
exactly.
What's
going
to be well, you can at least say show. If we're not going to do the old one. Are we going to hear a new one, maybe?
We're going to have some surprises.
True.
That's awesome.
But don't you worry.
Any guest singers? Any guest people? I know that in Israel everybody
We got guests, yeah.
We got guests. All right, okay. It's enough to hype them up to know that we're going to get some crazy stuff going on.
No, it's going to be an awesome show.
Awesome. If you guys want to hear what Late 8 sounds like when they play the 5 Minutes Alone by Pantera, go to the first time that Late 8, you can find the show in the archives when Late 8 was first in the studio. I got Tal to sing like 30 seconds of Pantera.
That's right.
And Uri was in the microphone going doo 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 doo. So if you guys want to check that out, definitely go check it out. We're going to finish off the show right here on rockforrookies.com and Rusty Mike Radio, obviously, by playing one more track off the new album. It is the first single that you guys released entitled Darker Than My Night. And guys, it was an absolute pleasure. I am Maximum Mike, and this has been Rock for Rookies, and remember, if the music touches you, make sure it's someplace naughty. Here we go, guys. Peace.